I said in my sermon blurb this morning, or this month, that when the theme for the UU Soul Matters work is paying attention, I felt pretty strongly that I couldn't call myself a UU minister unless I talked about Mary Oliver's poem about how to live, Instructions on Living. It's part of a much larger multi-stanza poem she wrote called Sometimes, but these three short sentences are the ones made famous by their simplicity and their wisdom. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. Unitarian Universalists have sacred texts. Did you know that? Yeah. They are expansive, and probably the most important of them don't involve text at all. Classical Unitarian theology emphasized God's unity and moral character, meaning God's oneness and goodness, but also leaned toward immanence, which is the idea that God can be found everywhere. God is in nature, in human reason, in conscience. Sermons and essays from our ancestors, figures like William E. Channing and Ralph Waldo Emerson, invite people into finding the divine in the order of the universe, in moral intuition, again, our conscience, and in acts of justice and compassion, rather than only in special revelations we might find in silence or prayer or in sacraments like ritual. This kind of theology turns everyday perception, just living your ordinary life, into a spiritual task. Paying attention to beauty and truth and goodness as places where the sacred can show up. In UU practice, this lives on in our worship services where we celebrate science and poetry and ordinary kindnesses, the very experiences we have every day. It all becomes sacred text through which the holy is encountered, through which we gain a deeper understanding of the mystery and the nature of existence itself. Mary Oliver's Instructions for Living and Lisa Owens Vianney's How to Be Dead have the same message. You must have noticed that. Though I think How to Be Dead is a little more grabbing. It invites us to think about all the ways we're living a small life on autopilot, missing opportunities to be wowed, to be comforted, to make connections. Both of these poems point to beauty we need to see, and the center of their wisdom in nature, and they center their wisdom in nature and interaction. Smile at the pit bull and tell about it. But here's the thing about sacred texts and living theology. Whether it's our daily lives, the Quran, the Gospels, or my favorite Rosemary Wotola Traumer, sacred texts are never full of only good things. They're never full of only beauty. So does knowing that there are often heartbreaking, horrifying, confusing, and scary parts in any body of work, in any wisdom story, any poetry collection, any lived life, does knowing that our sacred texts, however you want to define them, highlight hard times too? Does that change the poet's instruction on how to live or how to be dead? Are they really saying pay attention only to beauty and goodness and smiles? Would we be less walking dead if we ignored hardship, the ugliness of poverty and illness and violence? Are they saying that God or the holy or the divine only exists where things are pretty and comfortable? No. Of course not, because to be alive is to be alive to it all. And God, the sacred, the meaningful, the divine, however you want to define it, is in the pain too, is in the detention center, is in the hospital, is everywhere. And we are called to pay attention to the fullness of our human experience. Not all at once, and not all the time, but when we can, and with the same exact reverence we give to the singing birds and the sheltering tree. It is true that never before in my lifetime has it been so important to pay attention. And yes, to be astonished, but astonished in that kind of shocked, I can't believe this is happening kind of way. And then, yes, also tell about it. To invite others in, to side together, to make those smiles and the noticing serve something greater in community with others who can gather around all that needs protecting. For we would surely be less alive if we refused the invitation to create beauty and goodness and kindness where none currently exists. I think about those filming ICE, sharing the truth in a way few of us could know otherwise. I think about the horrifying documentaries I was made to watch as a child that made pollution and its effects on the natural world real. The oil-slicked birds and the unhomed wildlife of clear-cut forest. It was horrible, but it was made holy by our witness and the inspiration to act that followed and follows still. I think about the pictures that are taken of abuse and the bravery of those who tell their undiluted trauma stories to rooms full of strangers, hoping someone somewhere will be held accountable, telling their stories to people who don't want to hear, who don't care to know, but they do it to make someone else feel a little less alone, a little more brave. Being alive, paying attention, sometimes means not looking away from what you'd rather not know exists. It sometimes means witnessing and sharing something that others would like to walk away from. Sometimes the instruction for living is pay attention to what hurts. Be astonished by what humanity is capable of and then tell about it and know that that is holy. When we tell about it with the hope that it will be less likely to happen again, we are doing something in service of the world. I'm sure we can all think of multiple examples like I just mentioned, but this week I was particularly moved by a story that came out of San Antonio. I love this YouTube channel called We Rate Dogs. Does anyone know We Rate Dogs? Has anyone ever seen a bumper sticker that says, "Tell your dog I said hi"? They create all of that. It's awesome. Matt Nelson is the creator. He started this work as a college freshman in 2015 because he had just lost his very ancient golden retriever. It's really just a funny, cute compilation of commentary on everyday dogs doing ridiculous things in their everyday life. He writes this humorous perspective from the dog and rates dogs 1 through 10. Almost all dogs get at least a 13. He always does a top 10 dog of the week, and he makes time to highlight a dog that has had health troubles, that gets saved by the generous donations of his viewers, and often a heroic dog who has saved a life or in otherwise worked a really hard job and done good work doing it. This week, their podcast highlighted a story about a situation involving a couple of San Antonio police officers. These police officers went to a convenience store and they arrested an apparently unhomed person. But this person, this man, had a dog. A well-cared for, well-attached dog, which was obvious in the video. When the police officers took the man into custody, putting him in the back of their police car, they simply drove away and left the dog behind. A bystander saw this unfolding, and she paid attention. She began filming while also trying to coax the dog to her, but he was visibly upset, whining, circling the police car, and when they took off, chased after the car in busy traffic. Luckily, he was seen eventually veering off and running away. I'm sure, like most of you, my heart hurts just thinking about that confused and scared pup, and I can only imagine what that man in the police car was feeling, unable to help or comfort. And it is very likely possible that he was lawfully and justly arrested for a crime he committed, but the dog was innocent. I hate stories like this. It is not an exaggeration to say that it physically hurts to witness stories of animals or children being hurt. And I'm not sure I would have had the presence of mind to film anything at that moment. But this woman's ability to pay attention, be astonished by what she saw, and then tell about it has led to a full investigation of the officers involved, as well as a review of their policies on pet care in these situations. And then maybe the best part is that sharing that story in their neighborhood and community led to the dog being found. His name is Rusty. And he's now being fostered in a loving home while waiting for word about his owner. Paying attention, noticing things we otherwise wouldn't notice or even wouldn't want to notice, and then sharing that can not only bring us more alive in our bodies, but bring others alive too. It can save a life even, as in the case of Rusty, or make injustice harder to hide and easier to correct. We learn to pay attention by paying attention. It draws us closer, nears us to our own breath, to our own truth, and to our own lives. It makes us more human, more alive, more vulnerable, more open. In that process, we are brought into deeper kinship with the wholeness of what it is to be here, to be part of this time together. We discover what Mark Nepo calls the common way that all things are embedded in everything. So, today and throughout the week ahead, I invite you to notice things that you miss in everyday life. I invite you to notice the beauty and the ugliness. I invite you to see the way the divine and the sacred, the holy, shows up in both. I invite you to allow yourself into the practice of creating goodness where it's hard to find, while also making space, always making space, to see the little, tiny, natural miracles that simply are all around us. May it be so. Amen.